We find something very fascinating when we take a look at the 23rd chapter of Vayikra and Parshas Emor. The Perek of Gimel deals with the Moadim, deals with the festivals, deals with the various laws connected to the festivals, and the sacrifices that are brought. And it begins, as the Jewish calendar year does, with Pesach. And then we have the Sfiras HaOmer, you shall count for yourselves from the morrow of the rest day, from the day when you bring the Omer of the waving, 7 weeks shall be complete. And then, after the end of the 7 weeks, we have another holiday. And that holiday is a time you shall bring bread that shall be waved, 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah. And this is describing the korbanos of Shavuos. And the Kohen shall wave them, continuing on in the psukim, upon the first offering breads as a wave service before Hashem. They shall be holy for Hashem and the Kohen. You shall convoke on this very day. There shall be a holy convocation for yourselves. You shall do no laborious work. It's an eternal decree in your dwelling places for your generation. It's a chok olam l'dor sechem, having this holiday, which we call Shavuos, the holiday of weeks. Sheva Shavuos, you count 7 weeks. All right, even though the Chumash never calls it, it refers to it as Yom HaBikurim, the day of the offering of the fruit, and never refers to it as the day of Shavuos, as Zman Matan Torateinu, but we know that's the day we receive the Torah. Great. Then, that section ends Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Let's skip Pasuk Kaf Beis for one moment. Let's move to Kaf Gimel. What's the next holiday in the Jewish calendar year? Good. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, and the 1st of the month, there shall be a rest day for you, a zichron truah, a remembrance with shofar blast, a holy convocation. You should not do any work, and then we get into Yom Kippur, and then we get into Sukkot. So we mamish follow the Jewish calendar year from Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Great. The question we have today is, between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, we have Pasuk Kaf Beis. And it seems, it doesn't have to seem, it is coming out of nowhere. Pasuk says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not remove completely the corners of your field as you reap, and you shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest, for the poor and the proselyte shall you leave them. I am Hashem your God. What is this pasuk doing here? And indeed, this is the question many of the Farshim ask. B'emsa'asha parshat, in this parsha, which talks about Hadana b'mitzvot chag ha-shivuos, yom shemo nitna ha-torah, nichnesa mitzvah peyav ha-leket, we leave a corner of the field, we leave the gleanings of the field, what does this have to do with anything? It seems to be coming out of nowhere. Ma makom l'mitzvah zu b'toch dinav shal yom matan torah. Why is this pasuk stuck here? What do we learn from this? If we take a look at the pasuk itself, it's very interesting. Ubekutzrechem eksir artzechem. When you cut the ksir artzechem, your field, lo techale pa'atzatcha bekutzrecha. Don't finish off your field when you cut it. Again, very much focusing on your field. Velek eksircha lo tilakate. And don't take the gleanings of your field. For the poor and the stranger, ta'azovotam, leave them. Doesn't say titain lahem, give them, right? Take the corner of the field, reap it, and then give it to the poor person. It doesn't even say take the gleanings and give it to the poor person. You're not allowed to give it to them. Ta'azovotam. Chazal tells us you have to mamish leave it for them. You can't give it to them. It has to be something that they pick up themselves. Really? That makes any sense? Wouldn't it be nicer for us just to give these gifts to them? Why make them schlep into the hot field and pick it themselves? Tazovotam. Why? And the end, Ani Hashem Elokechem, anytime you have, we spoke about this last week by the Lotikom Velotitor, about not taking revenge and bearing a grudge, anytime you have Ani Hashem at the end of a pasuk, it screams out something. You know, it is found here. And here you have Ani Hashem Elokechem, Hashem, which is Midas HaRachem, Elokechem is Midas HaDin, Halo Devarhu. What is this doing here? So this is our first question. What is the placement? What's the meaning behind the placement of this pasuk? Our second question is a medrash which Rashi quotes. Rashi is bothered by our question, and he answers, when you reap, Rav Avdimi ben Rabbi Yosef raised the question as to why the admonition not to harvest one's entire field was placed here among the laws of the festivals. He explained that since the festivals are focused on the divine service in the temple in Jerusalem, and that's what you see here, you see what the sacrifices you bring in the temple, the person who leaves to the poor the gleanings and the corner of his field is regarded as though he came to Jerusalem, built the temple, and performed the divine service. Really? How do we understand this? And why is it? Ubemet yesh lavin emek ha-parsha, madu ubemet? Ma tam yiflik ha-medrash b'shevach mitzvos elu? What is the greatness about these mitzvahs? It's as if the Beit HaMikdash was built and you brought sacrifices on it. You know, we were thought maybe Shabbos, you know, something like major mitzvahs. You keep them, it's like you built the Beit HaMikdash. These mitzvahs are chosen as if I built the Beit HaMikdash, so it's as if to say, even when it's not your festival, when you're giving these gleanings and these portions to the poor, or leaving it for the poor, rather, it's as if you built the Beit HaMikdash and sacrificed there. How do we understand this medrash as well? So that's where we are, we're headed for today. I'll make a note, before we begin our three levels, that Ubikutz Rechem, Rav Hirsch points out the fulfillment of the mitzvot, so Peya Lektecha, is a practical corollary to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. This is like the upshot of what we just read. For in the Omer, and still more so in the Shtei Alechem, every individual is guaranteed the means of an independent existence. But this is guaranteed only by the power of Torah and mitzvot. Because there are people who don't have land, right? It's guaranteed that this is going to bring bracha on your blessing, on your land. And you don't own land, so it's pretty limited. So rather, for the prosperity that is granted to the community is to bestow upon every individual a dignified existence. And that's why the landless and the strangers are rightful partners in the harvest, and their upkeep is the obligation of the wealthy and the privilege of the poor. What a beautiful writing of Rav Hirsch, the way he describes this. And this is stucca. Stucca is from the word tzedek. This is the obligation. This isn't chesed, this is stucca. This is what we are obligated to do. So what we see from Rav Hirsch is that this section is really a footnote, so to speak, to the laws of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, that the Omer and the Shtei Alechem grant one's success in one's prosperity. Know that that isn't only going to be the landowners, they are going to share it with everyone else. A similar idea of this connection, the Chasam Sofer, in source number 7, says the following. According to the Gemara Chagiga, this pasuk referring to the mitzvah of assisting Klai Yisrael poor by sharing with them a portion of the harvest is alluding to the 6 days immediately succeeding Shavuos, in which individuals are permitted to continuing offer korbanos that they should have offered on Shavuos. So if you can't come on Shavuos for the Olat Re'iyah or the Shalmei Chagiga or the Shalmei Simcha, you have another week, right? It'll take Tachin on that week, you have another week to make it up. While it may seem surprising that Torah alludes to these days by discussing gifts to the poor, upon further contemplation, we realize there can be no more effective measure of preserving the spiritual levels achieved on Shavuos than to immediately share your harvest with the poor during this period. In fact, the placing of this pasuk immediately after discussing the Omer count and the Shavuos holiday supports our notion that the Yantif of Shavuos is completed, not only by continuing to offer those korbanos for another 6 days, by the very acts of stucca. So these acts of stucca are part and parcel of what Shavuos is about. It's about giving and being concerned for the needs of others. This is the idea that I'd like to develop on level number one. That this pasuk, and if you take a look at the way the parsha is divided by parsha psuchos and stumos, you indeed see that this pasuk is the end of Shavuos. Right? It doesn't have a stop after Shavuos, then this pasuk stop, then Rosh Hashanah. This pasuk is indeed part of the section of Shavuos. And that's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. It's part of it because this is the upshot of Shavuos. You have 6 days to bring the extra sacrifices and know that another way of keeping this level, this pitch of Shavuos, is by giving gifts to the poor. The idea I'd like to focus in on is the idea of the Meshech Chochmah. Rav Meir Simcha from Dvinsk quoted in the Sefer Mayan HaShel Torah. And this is the idea we're going to speak about on level number one. Alechem lachog et chag haShavuos chag kabbalos haTorah. When you celebrate the holiday of Shavuos, the holiday of receiving the Torah, lo rak alechukim asher ilulei haTorah lo hayu yudim lachem kol ikar. Don't only celebrate Torah on the laws you would not have known lest the Torah gave it to you. Elagama mitzvot sichlio. Part of the Torah, receiving the Torah experience, is the laws that make sense, that are sechel, that are logical. Kigon stakalani v'rachamim alum lolim, like giving charity. That's the law that every society has. Gam keng yesh lo dov v'alel l'shem mitberash shetzivazo b'Torah tog d'Hashem. When we're celebrating Shavuos, when we're celebrating the fact that we got the Torah, we're not only thanking Hashem for giving us laws that we would never dream of, like Kashrus and Shatnez, we're thanking Hashem for laws that we would have decided on our own were appropriate laws. Ki ani sayon kvar hochia, because it has been proven, shebeli emuna belukim asui adam lafoch l'chayos yar. Without proper emuna, a person can become a wild animal. Lozik sharachmin, without any type of mercy. And we have Jewish history to prove this, my friends. Asher biglal nichuto haishit ol halumit yaseh tamasim anitavim vashvelim biyoter. That because of a person's ego, okay, Meshchachma lived before the Holocaust, but we have, you know, so many cases, unfortunately, throughout history, the Cossacks of Tach V'Tat, that people become, you know, crazy with either nationalistic goals, personal goals, and they'll do whatever they feel like. It's only because Ani Hashem Elokechem, we ask, what is that phrase doing here, that we keep the mitzvos, because without this, we would not keep it at all. The Talmud Do develops this, and he says, in source 9, this is Rav Kram. Mitzvot shemechanen hamashutaf hi chesed v'chemla nitpaso b'nei ha'amon kepachot pachot shaychol l'mamad matan Torah. When you take a look at these mitzvot, honoring your parents and giving tzedakah and not stealing, these type of interpersonal laws, many of us don't really connect them to Mamad Har Sinai. What is receiving of the Torah about? It's receiving the laws that are like so godlike. And Matan Torah, Arachim Kamal Siyah Chesim Zulat, Matan Torah Lizkakim, Vekadomen Nechshavim, Matan Israel Lizkakim, Nechshavim Kerakim Ashalon Nitinu Daskal Markilot Har Sinai. These don't seem to be the ones that were given at Har Sinai. And we are so wrong in this understanding. We've learned a number of times the idea in the Matan Chaim in source number 10. Who quotes the Shlach HaKadosh that speaks about that the two sides of the Luchos of the tablets were even in terms of the font size, so to speak, which meant that Anochi Shemokecha Asher Seiticha Meretz Yisrael Mibeit Avadim had to take up the same space as Lo Tirtzach Not to Murder, which means that the Anochi Hashem is written a little bit smaller and the Lo Tirtzach is written much bigger. Why? For this very reason. One of the reasons is in order to tell us al adarabba chashuvot hein b'nei ha'makom ad shemasru b'hadgasha yoter gdola the dadin ten memitzvot ben adam l'makom, that the mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, the second half of the luchos, are written so big. No! Emphasize, underscore, these are given from Hashem, these come from Hashem. And he quotes the idea, and this is a makes sense from a simple zissel of count. The makora ta'ut, the place of the mistake, where the mistake happens, is twofold. One is, he says, that people get very spiritual over laws between man and God. Lulav and Esrog, wow, what an incredible experience. Shabbos, right? It inspires us. Chesed is very nice, but it doesn't inspire us in the same way. So we really attribute the mitzvot that inspire us to godly mitzvot. The mitzvot that don't inspire us, we don't attribute it to the same level as being godly. And the second pitfall, he says, that we come into, is that if it's a mitzvah that I can wrap my head around and I think I understand, so then it doesn't have the same quality as a mitzvah that I don't understand, right? I don't understand kashrus, so I'm just going to give myself fully to whatever Hashem says. This is it. You know, I was in the store today, and the cashier is a woman who apparently knows me, and you know, every time I go to her, and I try to her checkout, she says, "Rebbetzin, you have a dvar Torah for me." So I gave her a short dvar Torah. She said, "Rebbetzin, I have a dvar Torah for you." And she quoted me an idea from Rav, I think Mizrahi, I forgot who. And she was telling me about that, you know, the animals that chew their cud are written in the Chumash, and those animals indeed chew their cud. The challenge was the rabbit. The rabbit doesn't seem to chew its cud. And then she was telling me that recently they did, they put in, like, you know, these machines that can, you know, people take capsules to put in cameras into the stomach to be able to see what's going on. So they did that to the rabbits, and they see that there is a time in the night that they indeed chew their cud. So, like, it's not as if the Torah needs to be, you know, yay, Hashem was right. I mean, obviously, clearly. However, like, I don't question it. If Hashem says the rabbit chews its cud, the rabbit chews its cud. It doesn't make sense to me. Okay, it doesn't make sense to me. So, life goes on. However, if it's a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man, so then I say, well, in this situation, and here, in this case, he really doesn't need my help, and she thinks that it, and I start to rationalize it. No, we have to treat the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro and the mitzvahs ben adam l'makom on the same level. And he goes on and he says, Rav Kram, in source number 11, you're right. There is something called the moral code within the nations. And people search this out. The difference is that society that builds their moral code are like a house of cards that can easily come down. Ein aruch l'tavat ha'dam l'tzirinotav. When desires come, when a person is in a situation where they are driven, when they're driven with this Eisha Taiva, when they're driven by a passion, so then things become a little bit hazy. You really, really want this from somebody, you'll figure out a way to get it. It's not right, it's not appropriate, okay, but I really want it. And this is the challenge that we have, that unless there's Yira Shamayim, unless there's this understanding, Ani Hashem Elokecha, that this is what Hashem has prescribed. I'm allowed to do this, I'm not allowed to do this. When it comes to the human mind, we create whatever is comfortable for us. And you see this abortion, you see this with these questions of ending life. All of these are questions in terms of we think we can decide what's right and what's not right. And then it becomes very blurry. It becomes very much based on what a person wants. And it's interesting, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, who did die in the Holocaust, shortly prior to the Holocaust, he gave a speech. And in he quoted the Malbim on the story of Sarai Menu by the house of Avimelech. And Avraham Avinu comes to Gerar, and he says, you know, they're very nice here, and they have a lot of nice manners. Rak ein yirad Elokim b'makom hazeh, and I am afraid they're going to kill me to take my wife. Ah, but aren't they nice, well-mannered people? Yes. Says the Malbim, but rak ein yirad Elokim b'makom hazeh, if there is no fear of God, then all that morality and all that niceness goes out the window. And this is indeed what you see. The end of 12. Erev Melchamed Olam Hashniyah. He said this right before World War II. Hayabo Mishum Hadrasa Keneged Amnimus HaGermani. He was telling the people, don't be so impressed by the niceness of the Germans. HaFilosofia Germani VaRuach. Don't be so impressed by the philosophy, etc. Because no, lo hakol hiskilu az la renaglom kam shel dvarim. Not everyone understood the depth of what he's saying. All these moral niceties go out the window when you have a desire, and in this case it was, you know, to purify the world. You know, the whatever it was, get rid of all the Jews, gypsies, anyone who you don't feel is the pure. All of this is a desire to create a world the way we want to, take all those moral niceties, and they turned into, this is what he just said, to chayot yar, barbaric, in ways that we don't even want to think about, we don't even want to describe. How could such moral, nice people who are listening to concerts and they're cultural people, how could they act in such a beastly way? Rak yein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. My friends, it is not enough to have a moral code. One needs to be able to see with clarity that this is what Hashem wants. I don't do this because it makes sense to me. I do this because this is Ritzon HaBorei. I take myself out of the picture. Quoting again the Smesha Chochma in 13, Mevaer Rabbeinu Meir Simcha, below HaMunah BaHashem, Alul shekol adam liyo kiparitz chayov. Well, we just saw it. You can become like an animal. Velo mipnei shekach mechuyav hamusar noshi, elo mipnei shani Hashem Elokechem. Why do we act in a way that's moral and nice? Not because it makes sense. Not because I would have come up with this myself. But rather, I am Hashem, your God, asher tziviti okach. V'nimsa, we therefore fight. Shechag ha-shavuot, hu hinei. That when we talk about why is this pasuk here, it's underscoring to us that just like Shavuos is the holiday of Parah Aduma, it's a chok. I don't understand it. It's also a chok in this case as well. I don't understand why I leave the field. Not it's a nice thing to do, and not it's an ethical thing to do. I do it because Hashem commanded me to do it, and both of these laws, the laws of Shabbos, the laws of Tefillin, the laws of Paraduma, the laws of Kashrut, everything, including giving to the poor, are all found because this is what the Torah demands. And this is what the Torah wants. And that's the celebration of Shavuos. It's a celebration of the totality of the Torah. There's a new sefer, relatively new, Widen Your Tent, which is an exploration of the Hakdama of Rav Shimon Shkop to the Shara Yosha. And in one of these chapters, he notes in 14, and this is really the whole essence of this Hakdama, Rav Shimon Shkop, opens with a description of what it is we human beings were created to do. Lehativ im zulato, to benefit others. Lehativ is a verb form of tov, good, a topic the Torah has much to say about. The benefit doesn't end with working toward their happiness and keeping their lives as stress-free as possible. It means to share Hashem's good with others. To benefit should be treated as a special term in Rav Shimon's lexicon. But it is actually viable to say the entire Torah boils down to how we treat others? That this is the pasuk after Maman Har Sinai. It's not just to teach us that this too is part of Torah, but to a real extent, this is highlighted because this is the essence of Torah. So how do we understand this? So indeed, there is a Gemara that tells us, and Rabbi Elazar says, what does it mean that it's written, she opens her mouth with wisdom and a Torah of loving kindness is on her tongue? Is there a Torah of kindness and a Torah that is not of loving kindness? Rather, it's a Torah for its own sake, that's a Torah of loving kindness. And if Torah is not for its own sake, it's a Torah that's not of loving kindness. There are those who say Torah study in order to teach it to others, that's of loving kindness. not to teach to others is not of loving kindness. Torah lishma, Torah for its own sake, means Torah study that leads to one's loving kindness despite any appearances. In fact, Rav Chaim Voloshin, which is quoted in his son's writings of Yitzchak Voloshin, as saying the following. He would on a routine level rebuke me because he saw that I do not share in the pain of others. This is what he would constantly tell me, that the entire person was not created for himself, but to be assistance of others, whatever he finds to be in his ability to do so. And this is, in fact, what Hillel HaZakeh told the Ger. Right? Whatever is hateful to you, to your friend, do not do. Two interpretations of Rashi. The second one is your friend literally, such as robbery, burglary, and most of the mitzvot. Rav Shimon is writing here that from the perspective of the second approach of the Gemara, our greatest desire should be to benefit others. Everything revolves around the interpersonal. So why is our pasuk here? Our pasuk is here on the one hand to tell us that the entirety of Torah was given on Shavuos. On a deeper level, it's written here to tell us that specifically the essence of Torah is about giving to others. The essence of Torah is being concerned about other people. After we have the holiday of Shavuos, we highlight the essence of what Torah is about, which helps us understand a very strange halacha, which is the following. If the candidate then comes, we're talking about somebody who wants to be Megayer. The Gemara tells us the court is to respond to his insistence to convert and to summarize the responsibilities of a Jew. And they inform him of a small portion of the minor and major commandments. And they inform him of the sin of disregarding the mitzvahs of Leket, Shechah, Peah, and Meiser, gifts every farmer must leave for the poor. And they inform him of the punishment of mitzvahs. And just as they inform him of the punishment of violating the mitzvahs, so too they inform him of the reward of the commandments. Now, you ask yourself, this person is about to convert. Tell him about Shabbos. Tell him about Kashrus, Teres HaMishpacha. You tell them about Leket, Shechah, Peah, about leaving things in the field. What's going on here? But this is exactly what Hillel said to this Ger. Delech Hasani, Lechaver Chalosavi. It's about Ben Adam Lechavero. It's about sensitivity. It's about empathy. That's the essence of what the Torah is about. Now we can appreciate why this is found here. The Torah seems to interrupt with these non-festival laws, our pasuk. The connection between these mitzvahs 19 and Shavuos is also seen in the custom to read the book of Ruth on Shavuos. And we know that Ruth was converted and David HaMelech comes from it, but it's also very much about the laws of the poor, the laws of giving to other people. The Torah never explicitly associates Shavuos with being the anniversary of the giving of the Torah. However, listen to this in 19, it's gewaltig. It is here implicitly. The mention of Leket, Shechah, and Peah could seem like a non sequitur, an interruption of the discussion of the holidays. But as we saw with the convert's acceptance of mitzvahs here too, they are a natural association in the bracket 19 when describing the date on which we as a nation accepted them. These interpersonal mitzvahs are defining features in Chazal's mental image of the observant lifestyle. The book of Ruth is read on Shavuos because that's the essence. It's here to teach us one thing, chesed. That's why it's here, the Medrash tells us. So chesed so important? The answer is yes. That's why this pasuk is found here, because the essence of Torah is da'alech hasani l'chavercha lo savi. The essence of Torah is being caring about your friend. That's what I teach the convert. And that's what we need to understand. There's a lot more. Go and learn it. But this is the essence of what this is about. With this, we can appreciate what it means now when the Rashi Medrash tells us, it says, if, when you keep the laws of Leket, Peah, Shechah, as if you built the base of Mikdash, and offered a sacrifice. Says Rav Wolbe in source number 20. What is the correlation between giving charity and bringing sacrifice to the base of Mikdash? The former is a mitzvah between man and his fellow man, while the latter is a matter solely between man and Hashem. Chazal are hinting to us that the closeness to Hashem affected by a sacrifice can also be achieved by giving stucco properly. The same traits that impact our relationship between man and fellow man also impact relationship with God. One is ungrateful to his friend, while two being ungrateful to God. What does a person's lack of appreciation to his friend have to do with his from kite? Traits that are present in interpersonal relationships are automatically active in a person's interaction with Hashem as well. And he gives a absolutely stunning mashal. Listen closely, take this on with you. This can be understood through an analogy. The heart can be compared to a closed room that has doors and windows. When a person is in a closed room, he sees nothing. However, if he opens the windows, he sees both people and the sky. Similarly, a person who practices kindness is someone who has opened the window of his heart to see others. And when the window is open, he is no longer focused solely on himself. So he sees the sky, i.e. Hashem as well. The word yira and re'ia, seeing, share the same root. This is what it's about. When we talk about being able to build the Beis HaMikdash, when we talk about being able to have this relationship with Hashem, like build the Beis HaMikdash, no, this is really coming from our relationship with others. When I'm able to open myself up to others, I've opened the window to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And obviously, as the Tiva Torah points out here, U'bevadai she'tzrichim lomod mikad berosh ubrushana ech ledadek bekvodam. How careful you have to be with the kavod, with the honor of poor people, not to embarrass them. Because it's as when you treat them properly, it's as if you built a Beis HaMikdash. And the Rav Duner of Mikdash HaLevi goes on to describe. He says, "Siyu b'mishpati pade v'shaveh b'tzdaka." And this is again a little bit in source 2, Rav Moshe as well. That the whole idea of building the Beis HaMikdash is predicated that we'll rebuild it is on the laws of tzedaka. Siyu b'mishpati pade. And the highest level of tzedaka is a level that you do b'seter without anyone knowing it. That's why, in our case, we don't give it to the aniyim. We leave it. El Elashiro Tabasata, says the Elshich. Why? Because we don't want to embarrass them. To hand it to them would embarrass them. By you going home, you stay in your house, and let them go out into the field, no one's watching them. They feel the human dignity. When you're able to give that human dignity to others, when you're able to treat Hashem's children with the dignity that they deserve, with the love that they deserve, you've not only opened up your heart to others, you've opened up your heart to relationship with Hashem, and it's as if you built a Beis HaMikdash and actually given korbanos. And you should know, as the Tiva Torah points out at 22, Kishe'en Beis HaMikdash Kayom Halohem Chashuvim Be'enenu Kekedushas HaKorbanos. No, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the poor people have like the Kedusha, the holiness of Korbanos. U'kichol she'yoter mechabdim u'farsim ota mekaimim yoter Ritzon HaBar Yisparo Shvom. And the more we can be sensitive to the ger, yosom and almana, the more we can be sensitive to the poor, to the orphans, to the widows, We are as if akin to building the Beis HaMikdash, meaning offering sacrifices, and we have to understand the greatness of these mitzvot. So, on level number one, my friends, this pasuk is indeed, as we see, divided up by the parashas Psuchos and Stumos. This is the end of Shavuos. The end of Shavuos on a technical level. How do you keep the pitch of Shavuos, the Chasam Sofer? Those extra 6 days, don't only bring korbanos, go out and give to the poor. The Meshech Chachmat understand that Shavuos is about not only Ben Adam L'Makom, Shavuos is about Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And that when we look at the Torah, we should recognize that the mitzvos that we have, we do because Hashem commanded. They're brighter, they're bigger. It's not because it feels good to me, not because it makes sense to me. It's because Ani Hashem Elokechem, Hashem is there telling me what to do. I am not doing it based on my seichel. If it's only based on how I feel, we could have the extreme example of Nazi Germany. And then all the moral code just goes down the drain. We do it because Hashem commanded me. On a deeper level, the whole idea of giving is really the whole essence of what Yiddishkeit is about. Sensitivity to others, empathy is what Yiddishkeit is about. If we had to hone in, not because it makes sense to me, but because this is the way Hashem wants us to be able to open the windows of relationship with others, in relationship with Him, to step outside of ourselves. This is through the sensitivity we have with other people, if we build a base of Mikdash and brought sacrifices. You know, in Rabbi Spiro's latest book of stories, he tells such a very small vignette of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who was known, Zatzal, to be so sensitive to others. We used to buy wine from a certain person every year. And when he died, the wife sold the store, but Rav Shlomo Zalman would still go to her to ask her advice, Erev Pesach, what wine he should use for the Seder. And he brings here a little story of Rav Shlomo Zalman going to say Birkas Ha'ilanos in this, by this woman's house. She had a tree. So he once was there, about to say Birkas Ha'ilanos, and the Talmud says, you know, that the halacha really is you should ideally have two trees. And this almana, this widow, only has one tree. Maybe you should find a place that has two trees. As if you're telling Rav Shlomo Zalman the halacha. Okay. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you're right. There are opinions that it should be two trees. But I have two mitzvahs going on here. I have her one tree, and I have her looking out from the shutters with such joy at the fact that I say a bracha on her tree. And that joy is worth everything, that it's okay to say this bracha on the one tree. That's understanding what the halacha is, and that's understanding what Yiddishkeit is all about. That awareness, that pitch of sensitivity to others. That's idea number one. Idea number two is no. This pasuk isn't about connecting to Shavuos as much as this pasuk is a precursor to Rosh Hashanah. Let's take a look, source number 24 of the Omosho. Be'er ki da'ga l'chavercha she'en lo v'chaser lo. When you're careful and you're worried about what your friend is going to have, harehi kabbalat machut shamayim, which is what we just saw, that in itself is accepting the yoke of kingdom. V'yakdama l'mitzvot Rosh Hashanah yom truashin, you know, kabbalat machuto, which is the precursor of what Rosh Hashanah is about, accepting Hashem's kingship. Take a look in the Tzfurno, ani Hashem Elokechem, Elokeia kotzrim v'Elokeia melaktim. I am the God of those who are reaping, I am the God of those who are the poor and the world's rich. Dahainu shishnechem atzuyim b'tzal Moshe Melech Ha'olam, you're both created in my image. And therefore the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, the fact that this pasuk ends, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ani Hashem Elokechem. This pasuk ends, I am Hashem your God. And the next pasuk is Bechodesh HaShvi'i, which is the seventh month. Then we know that what is the seventh month about? Ani Hashem Elokechem. This pasuk is a segue to the next pasuk of Malchios, which is the kingship of Hashem. And perhaps because being able to be sensitive to others is part of making Hashem king over you, that helps us explain what the Rambam says. Shenagu kol beis Yisrael laharbo b'tztaku b'maisim tovim Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim yoteri kol Hashanah. Why is it that Elul time, Rosh Hashanah time, Yom Kippur time, we do extra acts of tztaka, extra acts of chesed? Why don't I do extra on Shabbos or extra on another mitzvah? Because the mitzvah of tztaka and chesed is the Kabbalat Olmachut Shamayim. This is what it's about, being able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge in this world, and I am dedicated to taking care of His children. When one takes care of Hashem's children, one is recognizing that Hashem is the master of everyone. Which helps us explain in 26, the Be'er Moshe quoting this, Ani Hashem Elokechem hu lashon ani adon lachem, I am your master. V'tamua l'meidi daika l'amdu mikan inya malchios, but we understand that kabbalos o machut shamayim means shemavatel kol kinyano mosera kol lo yitbarat. Not only is it taking care of Hashem's children, says the Be'er Moshe, it goes deeper than that. Because when I am able to give what Hashem has given me to the poor, I am recognizing that it really doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Hashem, and Hashem has the right to ask me, to command me, to give it to whoever He wants me to give it. Ki matarat amiras ha-malchios. What is malchios about? Kedei she'tam lichuni alechem. To make Hashem king over us. Ve'ein lecha kabbalah mechut shamayim dola mizeh she'machrib l'maisav kabel olam she'Hashem yitbarach hu'adon lanu. When I give up my money, that is my crops, that is a screaming out. It's not mine. There's an Adon La'olam, there's a master to this world. And hence he explains, that's another reason why the ger, the potential convert, is taught this law. Know that if you become a Jew, your property is not only yours. Your property belongs to Hashem. And He has the right to tell you to give truma, to give meiser, leket, shicha, whatever it is. It's not yours. The Sefer Emek HaParsha develops this, and he develops this really on two sides of the coin. And he says, Kishenere 26a, Kishenere L'Sher Hashem Shel Dvarim Nimsa, Ki Tamun Kan Yisod Godo V'Atso. We find here something very deep. Shekasher Notenu L'Chavero Nitinato Ba Mimakom Shemargish Hu Shenatan Lo Mishalo. When I give you something, I have the feeling that I am giving. Kashiru manik trumala nivo say mo stucca. Anytime I give stucca or I go out of my way, it's I want this recognition that I gave you and I gave you from mine. Tivo shall adam shohevu largish bal habayit. We want to feel in charge. Lafkin koach vosma makes us feel good. L'shem kapa tarav mitzorelu leket shecho peyalas here v'latria. You are not the givers, and that's why I don't want you to pick them up and hand it to them. We asked the question, wouldn't that be more convenient for them to go schlepping out in the hot sun? It can get pretty hot. No, because when you collect it and give it to them, you're giving over the feeling it's yours and you're giving it to them. It's not yours. It's the Ribono Shel Olam. Kevan she'im timtein b'atzmacha mamash shincha alul arkish kilu she'ata notein. Ata manik u'becha tafsid et erech ha-mitzvah. You've lost out. The mitzvah is about Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim. And Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim is a recognition, and it's a very deep recognition. This is not my field. My field is only here, given to me, to be able to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not mine. It belongs to Him. And that's what I have to understand. As much as it emphasizes your field, yours, 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 the emphasis on yours, 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 is for us to understand the emotional challenge. As much as you feel this is mine, it is not yours. You have to let go. And when you're able to let go, it's Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim. Everything that I have is given to me by Hashem. I need to let go. And it works the other side too. So the first idea is tazov, leave it. Don't get the credit. Don't stand around. You know, go home. Don't stand around for the applause. Don't stand around for the ani to come over to you. Well, thank you so much. It was so nice of you to open your field. And you have such a nice field and you're so kind. None of it. No thank you, no nothing. It's not yours. It's God. Know it. Step out. And again, we all need this. We all need, like, look how great I am. That's why the highest level of stucca is when they don't know where it's coming from, right? Be able to, you know, the higher level of stucca is the anonymous, because it's not about you. Again, it's part of it. It's a busha, but it's also, it's not you. it's important for us to realize that, that we don't get the applause at the end. Also, 28, if you gave to the ani, as I gam blev hani tikanes havanamu etet, she kivyacho balasadehu zechadaglo. And there's a flip side, it's very important. If you gave to the ani, right, you collect the gleanings, you collect that which is in the corner, and you say the ani, and the poor people line up, and I'll give you a bushel of. Then in the ani's mind, in the poor person's mind, who's giving it to him? The rich man, the owner. And then you forget that Hashem, it's coming directly from him. Of course, it's also going to create this embarrassment and that he's so dependent on other people. The aleph circle, leave it, let them gather it. So that you know that it's Hashem allowing you to have this in a way that's dignified. You feel like, you know, it would be like as if it's your field. You're going taking the gleanings. You're doing this. Hashem's giving you a dignified way to be able to have this produce. And you recognize that it comes directly from God. There is no middleman here. That's the key. And that is why in 29, that's why the end of the pasuk is, Ani Hashem Elokecha. Hashem midat harachamim. Elokecha midat hadin. There's being Hashem, Yukevavke, is mercy. Elokim is din, is judgment. To teach us, Vaha Baha Talya Share im yit baye shani yesh bazek kidei lifko much lemus mitzvah. Be careful how you do it. Do it in a way where you're not the one with the ego trip, and do it in a way that they don't feel embarrassed. The schar of the mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah, is based on how you are giving. It's not about you. It's about this is Hashem. This is Kabbalat O Machut Shemayim. And now we can appreciate on this level, what does it mean? It's as if you built the Beis HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash hu be'etzem makor v'sibat hikashrut shel adam im baro. Beis HaMikdash was a medium, a conduit, of man connecting with God. Kol zman she'aseh davar asher b'kach mishtatef mechazek hu et hakesher shelem abore or imekayim et tachlito v'ratzon kimo shel Beit HaMikdash ba'olam. When I do Hashem's will, when I step out of the picture and I do what Hashem wants, and it's not about my ego, then I create a place for Hashem to reside, right? Hashem doesn't reside when a person's a Baal Gaiva, when a person's haughty. So when I'm doing what Hashem has commanded me, I have created a place for Hashem. And this place for Hashem is really within me. Ki mimcha hakol u'miyadcha natnu lecha. Everything comes from you, Hashem. Umashe kibel be'etzem hareza pikadon etzlo. The fact you gave me a field, this is just on loan. Shemufkad alav lasot imo dvarim nechonim, that are able to do it, to serve Hashem only. And in that way, when you're able to understand so clearly, and money is a major problem, the field was money, when you realize so deeply, it's not about me. Hashem has given me this, that I use it in ways that He wants me to use it. At that moment, you've created you to be a place where Hashem resides, and that this is as if the Beit HaMikdash was built, and the Korban, you sacrifice yourself, you brought yourself closer to Hashem. So my friends, we've seen two ideas. I want to end with one final one. What is this pasuk doing here? It seems like a non sequitur. The first answer is it's connected to Shavuos. It's connected to Shavuos because the whole Torah is what we understand, what we don't understand. It's connected to Shavuos because the whole essence of Torah is giving. This is what Torah is about. This is what I teach at Ger. It's about giving. It's about empathy. It's about being careful about what other people are about. I leave it for them so they should not be embarrassed. When I do this, it's as if I built the Beis HaMikdash because the Siyum HaMishpat Tipata, the giving charity, particularly in this way, which is a way of giving them in a dignified way, I bring the Geula closer as if I built the Beis HaMikdash and offered sacrifices, and how careful and sensitive we have to be to the needs of the poor people. Idea number two, this is the Gemara tells us an opening for Ani Hashem Elokechem, Bechodesh HaShivi, Malchios, that this pasuk is the mitzvah of Lech and Shecha, is about making sure Hashem is the king over us. On one level, it's being able to treat all of Hashem's children, not knowing that it's Hashem's children. On a deeper level, knowing that everything that I own really belongs to Hashem, and it's not about me, and that I'm just a caregiver for what Hashem has. That's really taking upon myself the yoke of Hashem's kingdom. And therefore, this is what I'm involved with, the Stucca and Chesed, during this period of time. It reminds me, it's not mine, it's all about Hashem, it's all about Hashem. And it allows my whole life, which revolves really around money, to be focused on, this is all about Hashem. And when I do that, and I step out of the picture, Hashem is able to reside on me, and I'm able to come closer to Hashem. The final idea in the very few minutes that we have left is that this pasuk is really connecting both together. Shari Chaim Rav Goldstein. He says, if you take a look at Rashi, of that it says, if you build the Beis HaMikdash and you sacrificed on it. Two steps. Building the Beis HaMikdash and sacrificing. Source 31. Diyukah Lashon 31a. Melamed al Shnei Dvarim Shenemrukan. Pesach v'aseret mitzalmim et binyan Beis HaMikdash. The first two holidays of Pesach and Shavuos is about building the Beis HaMikdash. Shehu b'vchinat hachana, which is really a preparatory le'ikar avoda she'ekravas ha'korba, which is the Beis HaMikdash is not just for building, it's in order to bring sacrifices. Shenirmezet b'Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim she'im z'man avodas hadam. And that's what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about. So in a philosophical way, Pesach and Shavuos is about building our relationship with Hashem. It's about building, it's about coming out of Egypt, engaging Hashem, marrying Hashem, kivyachol. It's about building the building. The actual service, where I actually go and serve Hashem and connect with Hashem, is what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are about. V'af mitzvah matnan aniyim nemru shnei dvarim. And that's why this pasuk also has two parts to it, and it's, you know, on a derech remez, it's reminding us that if you want to be successful in the service of Hashem, you need to have two parts, the hachana, the preparatory part, and the actual giving. Lahachin et matanot aniyim, v'gam la'niv la'ger tazov otam, shinitin la'niyim, lo techala pa'atzatcha, you can't finish cutting up your field, that's the hachana, the preparation. Then, giving it to the ani, the ger, that is the doing. So the two parts of the pasuk, leave parts of your field, that is setting up the mindset. I'm ready to give it to the poor. Now I'm going to actually leave it for them, right? I first mark off, this is the poor section. Then I actually go home and leave it for them. That's the actual doing. And he says, this is to teach us here, that when you're doing a mitzvah, not only ben adam l'mako, between man and God, but also ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and man. That's the chiddush here. That's the novel idea. Ela yeshgam chashivos b'achanat mamon ha'adam v'libo likrat ha'netina. She'afrish ha'adam ha'mono l'shem mitzvah v'lacharav yitnu l'aniyim. It's not just enough to do an act of chesed. You first have to have the mindset, the hachana. I'm going to set aside this money for poor people. Then, to be able to give it to poor people. And as Rafinkus points out in Source 32, that this is the essence of what Yiddishkeit is about, Hachana. Hagadlus shel Yehudi hi shehu oseh kol davarim Hachana. The greatness of a Jew is he does everything with preparation. And this is how we're going to be successful. E'efshar lamshich ha'lebeli hachana v'letzpot shakol yustader. You just can't fall into mitzvos. Kol avoda o hanaga tova chayeva lasorim hachana machshava bechdei shetatzliach, kach tzarich liyot bechol chaye yudi lifnei kiyum mitzvah latzor l'rega. Before doing anything, stop. There has to be a preparatory stage and then the giving stage. So on a symbolic level, the way the Chumash is divided is teaching us this lesson, that first we have to prepare ourselves to have this relationship with Hashem, Pesach and Shavuos. Then the relationship itself is developed on in the most deepest way, whether you want to say like the Sivah Shalom, one period is Ava, one period is Yira, one has to prepare for the other. This mitzvah in the middle is that linkage to teach you that this is what Avodas Hashem is about. You have the mindset, you have the preparation, and then you have the actual giving. We which leads us to the final page, a gewaltig idea from Rav Birnbaum in Bikurei Shema, where he says, we'll do it outside because of time limitation. He says, based on the Gemara, that the natural inclination at 35 of the way animals are wired and the way humans are wired is they want to be with their children. Parents will pick up and leave their homes of many years in order to live near their kids. Parents like to, if they can buy near their kids, that's, you know, their kids near them, that's also an option. But you see this, you see parents moving to Israel at later ages and stages. They want to be with their children, they want to be with their grandparents, their grandchildren, grandparents and grandchildren together. That's a need, that's the way we're wired. There's a wiring for connection. Likewise, kivyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants to be with his children. And that's the base of Mikdash, the hope where Hashem is, who are Hashem's children. So we know that when Chazal tell us, v'samachta lifnei Hashem, you should be joyful in front of Hashem, you, your son, your daughter, your servants, v'halevi Hashem b'sharecha, and the levi, v'ager v'yatom v'amana, and the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. As Rashi says, four are mine and four are yours. If you make mine happy, I'll make yours happy. Who are Hashem's? The levi, the ger, the yosom, the almana. So when we're talking about that Hashem wants to be with his children, who are his children? The ones who are suffering, right? The poor, the stranger, the orphan, the widow, those are Hashem's children. So therefore, my friends, when we leave this part of the field for these people, and we allow them to come into our field in a dignified way, it's as if these people have now taken up home, so to speak, in this part of the field. It's as if Hashem is residing here, because this is where these people are found. It's as if you've created a Beis HaMikdash. You've created a place for Hashem, because this is where Hashem wants to be with his children. Hashem wants to be so close to them. And we know, my friends, Ach Lo Kein 38. Ach Lo Kein Matanat Hanim Daharei Ma'achar Matanot Elu Shechim Basmutam Lanim Veinam Mishal Balim Klal. It's specifically here, when it belongs to the Aniyim, it's not about you. And you can't even, as if you're giving to the Aniyim. It's as if this belongs to you. This is your home. This is where you need to be. And it's only a person who lives on this pitch, that this isn't my corner, this belongs to you. These gleanings aren't mine, these gleanings are yours. Such a person is living with closeness to Hashem. Such a person is living with the understanding of what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. So the Beis HaMikdash is built in the field where the poor people are. And the homeowner who understands it's not about him, it's about this is what Hashem wants, he's able to let go. That's the sacrifice. That ability, and it's not easy to say, this isn't mine. This belongs to them. That's the connection of sacrifice. 40, v'derech avoda netina matrot anim karaui, magi adem ala karazu, when you give it properly, you come to this recognition, dahainu shu makir she'en lo shum zchut kiyum atzmi, v'shayach hako rak elav yisparach. And you come to the deeper recognition that not only is this land Hashem's, but really everything about me is Hashem's. Nothing is mine. Even my body isn't mine. Everything belongs to Hashem. When I'm able to create that Beis HaMikdash in me and I realize it's not mine, you come to the depth of the Korban. As the Ramban said, that blood should be my blood and those bones should be my bones. I understand that not only is the field not mine, nothing is mine. It all belongs to Hashem. And rak mishu be'emet me'niach tivo kamo anotei matanon anim elu kara'ui, if you do everything in this way, you'll realize that everything that you have in your whole life, be'emet eno shayach lo, doesn't belong to you. When you're able to leave this, and you're really able to leave this, and really bring Hashem into your field, and really understand this, then your whole life is a korban to Hashem. Your whole life is as if you're giving over to Hashem. You are able to live the message of the Moadim, of building the Beis HaMikdash and coming close to Him. That's what Hashem wants. He doesn't only want it on the, you know, three festivals, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. This pasuk is telling you, when else does Hashem want it? 24/7. This pasuk is telling us, how do you access this feeling of the Yom Tif every day of the year? How do you do it? When you're able to let go and realize that everything belongs to Hashem. When you're able to be sensitive and understand these are Hashem's children, this is where Hashem is found. And truth is, everything that I have is about Hashem. That Hashem, Bilvavi Mishkanev, that Hashem resides in me as well when I make room for Him. When I'm able to understand that nothing is mine. It's all about living Hashem's life. When I understand this, I am living not only in the Chagim, but at all times this connection to Hashem. My friends, this is the ultimate message. Yes, the essence of Yiddishkeit is giving to others. Yes, the essence is Ol Malchut Shamayim, accepting Hashem's yoke of kingship. When I'm able to bring the two together, this pitch of sensitivity, that it's really these poor people's land, and it's not mine, Hashem can dwell there, then I'm able to extrapolate that nothing is mine, everything is Hashem, and then I'm able to bring a korban, the Kabbalat HaMuchat Shamayim, and be able to connect with Ribbono Shel Olam.